through 32. It reads, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. But if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord, so that we will not be condemned along with the world." Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, I just thank you for just another opportunity to gather, Lord, your church here in this building, Lord, and just look back at what you did for us so many years ago. And even though it was a long time ago, Lord, it's just another opportunity to remember and look back and just make sure that our walks with you are right, Lord. And I just pray that as you would be with Pastor Craig as he brings your message to us from this portion of Scripture. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, John. You can keep your finger in that passage. We're going to be looking at it here in just a minute. Before I get into this, did I forget any other prayer requests besides Bruce and Lori? Isn't that amazing? I can go through a list like that. It's written right down. Did I forget any others besides the... Well, let me pray for you real quick. Father God, we do, again, just thank you for Bruce and Lori and Chip and their visit here. Just ask your blessing upon their vacation here. And Lord, do ask that you would give them safety as they travel. Just thank you for the fellowship that we can enjoy with them this morning. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, 1 Corinthians. We're doing something a little bit different this morning. We're going to depart from our series that we've been doing through the book of Acts. And this is actually something we've done before. Actually, about once a year, this time of year, we have dedicated the entire service to communion. And that is something that I want to do this morning. And I know for me, you know, we partake of communion typically once a month, the first Sunday of the month. But it's very easy for us to become complacent about it. And I'd like to take at least once a year and just dedicate the entire service to this wonderful ordinance that we have. It is an ordinance that has been given to us so that we can remember the incredible price that Jesus Christ paid for us individually on the cross. And also kind of evaluate or examine ourselves and make sure that our walk, our relationship is permanent, but our fellowship with the Lord can be tainted as we walk through this world and fall into sin. But anyway, this morning, dedicating the entire service to communion is an opportunity to remember. It's an opportunity, first of all, to remember that God's demand for heaven is perfection. It is perfection because he is a perfect and holy God, and nothing imperfect can be in his presence. Psalm 5:4 says, "You are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you." Man's condition, however, is imperfection. Man is born in sin. His nature is to sin. And there is nothing that we can do to fix that. Okay, we are powerless. In fact, Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23 tells us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And Romans 6:23 says that the wages of that sin is death. It is separation from God. That leads to a big problem for us. We can't be, sinful man cannot be in the presence of a holy and perfect God. We are disqualified from heaven. But God knew our problem. He knew our problem and He planned a solution. He provided for us. He provided a perfect person to pay the penalty on our behalf. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates His own love toward us in while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for He has made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. And Isaiah 53:5 and 6 says that He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. It goes on to say that all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on Him the iniquities, the sins of us all. And because of that, man must now respond by simply trusting who Jesus is, in who Jesus is and what He has accomplished for us. Man must respond, and when we do, we are forgiven our sins. Acts 10:43 says, to Him all the prophets witness that through His name, whoever believes in Him will receive remission of sins. Our sins will be blotted out. We will be forgiven. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved from the penalty of sin. And 1 John 5:13 says, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Communion. Communion is a time to reflect on and be thankful for that wonderful gift that has been offered to us and received by us. It is an opportunity to grow that relationship, restore that fellowship. Before we celebrate communion this morning, I have asked Jeff and Roberta Bird to share with us this morning their testimony, their story of how they came to trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. And I've heard their story before, and I'm excited to hear it again. But I'm going to turn the time over to the two of you right now.
So you want to go first?
Yep. Mine will be real short. He'll expand.
She'll do the first 2 minutes, and then I'll keep it under 2 hours.
Yeah. I had a great childhood. My parents were married until the day my mom died. Happy childhood. I was raised in the Catholic Church. My parents were very devoted, strict Catholic, both sides of my family, my mom's side, my dad's side. So everybody I knew was Catholic. So we were in church every Sunday. I can't imagine not being in church. Even after we got married and our kids, we've always gone to church on Sunday. So So I had a book knowledge. I went to Catholic grade school, catechism class, and church every Sunday, knew who God is, learned about Jesus, learned all the stories in the Bible. But as a kid, they were stories. And we know God puts people in our lives, situations, people in our lives. And especially looking back, you see people that, you know, things that you might not have thought of at the time. Two things, though, brought me to the Lord. Because, like I said, I had a book knowledge, but it wasn't in my heart. But two things. When we were married and our kids were little, and Jeff will expand on it more, how we stopped going to the Catholic Church. And we the first Sunday we went to another church, and the pastor got done with his sermon, and he said, go home and read it for yourself in the Bible. Go, you know, it's all here. Just go home and read it. And that was a new concept to me. All I owned was my little First Communion New Testament Bible. So I had never read the Bible myself. So so we went and got Bibles, and that was our beginning of our walk. We started reading the Bible, and shortly after that, an acquaintance of Jeff's, someone that he worked with, was having dinner at our house, and he asked, you know, we had a good conversation. He asked me, are you going to heaven? You know, if you died, are you going to heaven? Well, yeah, I'm a good person. I think so. I hope so. Yeah. So in talking more, he told me flat out he was a new born-again Christian, so he was on fire for the Lord. So he told it like it is. And he said, you know, if you died tonight, you would be going to hell. What? No, I just said I'm a good person. No. So in talking more to him, that's what led me to the Lord. And that night I got on my knees and accepted the Lord as my Savior. And he said, we moved out west. Our church has always been our family, especially being away from our family. Our church is always our family. So we learn something from each of you, every church we've been at. And like Ron talked about in Sunday school today, that was great. The growth when you look back, and every year do you see a growth? Definitely. Yeah, we see a growth in our lives. I see it in my life. So.
Okay, now the shortened version of my story. Well, I grew up in the church, but like Roberta said, the stories were all to me just kind of folklore. Never really understood the relationship. And when we got married, I wasn't going to the church at the time. And, of course, marrying a Catholic and non-Catholic, her family freaked out. And I said, don't worry about it. We'll go to the Catholic church because I want my kids. I believe in God. But I said, I want my kids to have at least some kind of basis, you know, for morality and everything else. So we were going to the Catholic Church. And one of the rare things that happened when you have two non-believers, a husband and wife, for them to come to know the Lord at almost the same time is very rare. But the Lord really impressed upon us at the same time that there was something missing.
Within 2 weeks of each other.
Yeah, there was something missing. And one day we came out and we were sitting in the car and I said, Roberta, it's just, there's got to be something more. I don't feel like I'm learning anything or growing. And when people, which talks about bringing people into your life, there was a friend that had been calling us and very gently asking us and inviting us to come to a church. So don't ever give up on a person when they say no the first time, because it took probably a year and a half. And one day he called up in the morning and said, would you like to visit our church? And I said, yeah, let's just try it. And we walked into that church, and it was a Presbyterian church at the time, but it wasn't one of the mainline. And like Berta said, they preached, and when we got there within 15 minutes, we went, oh my gosh, what a difference, the feeling that we had of the fellowship and everything else. And that was the first stepping stone, because all of a sudden, godly things meant something to me. Before they didn't, and all of a sudden, and that's the calling of the Holy Spirit. When the time is right, he said, it's your time, and all of a sudden it meant. And my brother-in-law had been witnessing to us for years and praying for us, and he had bought me my first Bible, an NIV Bible, which I had never opened. And all of a sudden we started reading our Bible, and we were going to church, but we were playing church. And then along comes a stranger that I met at work, that this person was in our life a very short period of time. And that's what he said, basically, well, have you accepted the Lord? Well, what do you mean? He said, about going to hell. And we went, Well, we're reading the Bible, we're going to church, what more do you need? He says, well, have you made him Lord of your life? Have you confessed your sins? Have you repented? And all of a sudden, at that point, we are going through some traumatic things in our life. I thought I was pretty smart, and I'm entrepreneurial at heart, and blew a lot of things, and we were going through some troubled times, and all those things came together right then. And, you know, some people will talk about they're accepting the Lord, and they'll say, oh, I remember on this date, on, you know, this year, that, man, I accept the Lord. It wasn't like that for me. He just ground me down. So it just got to the point where, as Dave, the friend, was witnessing to us and learning, going through my life, I remember I was in the kitchen, and I just said, Lord, I can't do this myself anymore. And so we accepted the Lord, and then from that church family on, right after that, we moved out west. And each point you go through, Ron was talking about, the growth is the different steps that you take, and that's the thing that you have to watch out for, is you grow to a certain point, and then you get kind of comfortable. And then all of a sudden, somebody else would come in our life and convict us, and we went, wow, okay, we're missing the boat, and we take the next step, and that growth process should just go on and on and on. So now, when we came here, after coming here, it's so different than just kind of happenstance falling into a church. We knew enough to, when you go look, what is their doctrine? What do they stand for? How are they worshiping? Everything else, we know what to look for, because that, with that growth comes that knowledge about what God really wants. And so that's what led us here. So we came here, I want expository preaching, you know, I want the word, and I want the fellowship of the believers, and to see that love that's in there, and that's what we found here. So it's, like I said, it was just a huge blessing, us coming to know the Lord pretty much at the same time. So, and I thank God for that, because I see other families that do not have that, and see what they go through, and it just breaks your heart, so...
We just want to be involved. We love coming to the church. Like I said, we feel a part of it. It's our family, so we want to do things. We want to be involved in the activities and things that go on here.
And the hope, we talked about this morning, too, hope. And that's just the amazing thing, is when you look out there with everything that's going on in the world, and we get caught up. I mean, we're in this life, so we go through the trials and tribulations, but every once in a while, when things seem to get overwhelming, you got to step back and go, wow, but what's waiting for us? And that hope that's there, I just, with everything that's going on, you look at the economy and the world today, if you are not a believer and do not have that hope, I don't know how they get through the day. I do not know how they do it, because I would be depressed. And you see it today. I mean, everything with drugs and depression, anxiety and everything else. So having that basis is just incredible. So,
we thank you all for being a part of our family.
Thank you very much, Jeff and Roberta. It's one of the most interesting things for me, I think, is just hearing the individual stories of not only how the Lord worked in their life, but just the different circumstances that surround the individual, and they come to a recognition that without Jesus Christ, they're lost. And trust in him for that salvation.